Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion to. Imagine all the peoples living life in peace. You might say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. John Lennon wrote that song in 1971 and it's been a classic ever since. And yet he had to imagine it because our world is so different. It's a world full of barriers and division, conflict and prejudice. We struggle to live as one. We prayed for Syria tonight. In the news we hear of, we see images of Syria and Iraq, of Nigeria and the Congo, places in our world plagued by war and destruction and terror. Now, mercifully, in the UK there's peace. There's an absence of war. And yet there are still divisions and barriers. We celebrate our diversity, and Oxford is an international city. And yet, we all go further than simply acknowledging our differences. So often we moralize them. Yes, we're different, but we're better than you. We're superior to you. We're prejudiced against you. We're seeing it at the moment over ethnicity. As people are alarmed by the spread of the coronavirus, what's happened? People from East Asia are being attacked. Or we disagree about some issue and we assume the worst about the other side. This week I saw this cartoon. The caption at the bottom says, "Your mother and I are separating because I want what's best for the country and your mother doesn't." Or last month I read this book, The Culture Map, really interesting book about how to understand people from different cultures and to find ways to work together. And the author gives lots of examples, including how we have different attitudes to time. Like, how late is late? Now, we can answer that question in terms of minutes or days, but there's also our attitude to those who take a different view to us. You know, one culture labels the other as inflexible, rigid, unable to adapt, while the other condemns the other side as chaotic, lazy, and disorganized. Imagine all the peoples living life as one. Yes, John, keep imagining. It's just a dream, isn't it? Well, actually, there's one place where this dream has become a reality. The church. That's the claim of Paul, an early Christian leader, in verses 19 to 22 in Ephesians chapter 2. For him, the church is a community uniting and reconciling very different people and enabling them to live a life of peace in a way they couldn't outside the church. In fact, he says it's a supernatural community. He describes the Ephesians and us as fellow citizens with God's people, verse 19. That's a political term. Everyone with full rights, everyone belonging, no one second class or on a temporary residence visa. And he says we're members of God's household, verse 20. That's a domestic term. It's not simply that we have the same heavenly passport, but we have the same name. We're in the same family. These people around me are my sisters and my brothers. And then verse 21, we're a building joined together and rising to become a holy temple to the Lord. That's a spiritual term, that brick by brick, God is building himself a house in which he will live, that we're people being cemented together to make something solid and secure and spectacular. And with each of these terms, our relationship with each other becomes more intense. Citizens, then family, then joined together. And more intense with God, his people, him as our Father, his Spirit living in us. No longer strangers and foreigners, but living life in peace as one. Well, that's lovely, Paul, but come on. Church is full of division, barriers, and prejudice. Yes, that's true. And we need to be honest about that and grieve over that and repent of our failures. And the church isn't claiming to be perfect. There's a sign over this building. It says, under construction, verse 21, it's rising to become. It's a work in progress. And yet, this is who we are and who we're capable of being. So how are we able to relate to those different to us? What are the resources within the church that enable us to get on with people who we wouldn't naturally get on with outside the church? And verse 13 sums it up. The key, Paul says, is to remember you once were far away. Remember you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. And remember that you are now in Christ Jesus. So remember you were once far away. Paul reminds the Ephesians and us that before you go deepening divisions or repeating prejudices or looking down on others in the church, just stop and remember how distant you were from Jesus and the message of God's salvation. The Bible tells us how God made a world full of harmony and peace and wholeness. And yet our ancestors, Adam and Eve, separated themselves from God. And since then, our world has been divided and hostile. And yet in his love, God made known how he's going to remake this broken world. He told his plan to Abraham and his family. And this plan developed through the people of Israel. God revealed how a savior, a king, a messiah would come from this people, and through him peace would come to our world. But Paul turns to the Gentiles in the Ephesian church, and he says, remember verse 12, how far you were from these people and from this message. You were separated from Christ. You had no idea about God's promised Savior and the amazing blessings he would bring. You were excluded from citizenship in Israel, alienated from them, refused membership, not welcome here. You were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. God's promises to Abraham, to Jeremiah, you were strangers to them all. You were without hope. Oh, plenty of hopes and dreams, but hopeless in terms of salvation. And you were without God. Lots of gods, but no relationship with the living, true God. So before you go pushing others away or looking down on them or thinking you own the place, just remember how far away you were, how low you were. And before we think he's letting the Jews off lightly, they may have had the scriptures, but they too desperately needed their Savior. Up in verse 3, he writes, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We're all lost. None of us is any better than anyone else. And that humbles us, because that's not how we think. We have a vertical scale in our heads, and we look up and down it at others. You were born into that family, or that country. You have that color of skin. You went to that school. You went to that university. Oh, you didn't go to university. Jobs, friends, wealth, class, appearance. We compare ourselves to each other. But with God, there's no vertical scale. So look around you tonight. If you're a Christian, you were an outsider. You may remember that time vividly, you may not, but you're no better than anyone else. We were all without hope. But that wasn't the end of the story. Remember, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus Christ has done what we could never do. In verses 14 and 15, he has brought us near to each other. The great divide in the ancient world was between Jews and Gentiles, and the barrier, the dividing wall, was the law given to Moses with its commandments and regulations. Now God gave it. It was good. And it revealed who he was and how Israel could live the good life. And it reinforced to Israel that they were God's people. And it did so by telling them what they could eat and what they could wear and what they could do on certain days and when they could have holidays and how to worship God and how to govern their nations and on and on and on. In fact, 613 commandments. And Israel was to be a light to the world, showing what it meant to be God's people. And so they had to be separate. And the law did that. It kept Jews and Gentiles apart. In the temple, there was a literal barrier between them. But this dividing wall became one of hostility, because for the Jews, the law became a source of pride. Look at us. Look at who we are. We're not like them. Gentiles, dirty, filthy, polluted, uncircumcised scum. And the Gentiles hit back. They mocked the Jews, despising them for their stupid customs and stupid costumes. They saw them as a threat, undermining civic unity. But if God's plans unity and peace, then this barrier and hostility had to go. And that's what Jesus did. Two members of my family are getting more and more excited as the 27th of March approaches. Okay, let me be honest. For all of the members of the family are getting excited as the 27th of March approaches because the film Peter Rabbit 2 will be released at the cinema. Now, I know all of you have watched the first film, but just for the few of you who may not have seen it, it's a story about some rabbits led by one called Peter, and they try to get into the garden of Mr. McGregor to eat his vegetables. Now, in the first film, Mr. McGregor dies, and his nephew, Mr. Thomas McGregor, inherits his house and the garden and his hatred of rabbits. And in one scene, Mr. McGregor reinforces his garden fence with an electric fence in order to keep the rabbits out and to keep his vegetables in. And I'm not going to spoil it for you. Now, if you've encountered a live electric fence, you'll know that it will give you quite a shock if you touch it. But it's only effective if there's electricity pulsing through it. If you turn off the electricity, then it becomes ineffective, powerless, is nullified. It's just a bit of wire, and you can trample it down. Paul says, verse 15, Jesus set aside in his flesh the law. He fulfilled that Old Testament law. All the different aspects of it were pointing to him, but he did more than that. In his flesh, he died on the cross. He died for us, not for his own sins, but for all our sins, all our law breaking, all our disobedience. He died the death we should have died. And his death introduces a new covenant. We're now forgiven. We're now God's people. And verse 18, through Jesus we have access to the Father by the one Spirit. With the electric fence, when you turn off the switch, it's powerless. It's no longer an effective barrier. And Paul says Jesus' death, not the turning of a switch, but his death renders the law powerless. It no longer defines who God's people are. It no longer separates Jews and Gentiles. And by setting it aside, Jesus has destroyed the barrier and its hostility. He has made one new humanity out of the two. And Jesus' death does more than that. It brings us near to God, not just each other. Verse 16, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. Now, it can be quite powerful when people are reconciled to each other, when a husband or wife or when two friends stop fighting and ask for help. And someone comes along and helps them to listen and to admit their mistakes and to forgive each other and for love to flow again. Or between countries or between ethnic groups. Here's a picture of Nelson Mandela and F.W. de Klerk. Two groups at war with each other, and then they declare a ceasefire, and the negotiators bring them together to talk and to compromise, and then there's a treaty and handshakes and peace. How much more between us and God? There was Jesus on the cross. We put him to death. But what was he doing? He was killing the hostility between us and God. By dealing with both human sin and divine anger, he reconciled us to God and God to us. There's now forgiveness and peace. And we know that in marriages and friendships and in countries, that reconciliation can be incomplete and fragile. But look how effective Jesus' death is. He destroyed the barrier, verse 14, not made a small hole or temporarily removed it. He wiped it out. And he put to death the hostility, verse 16. It's dead and buried. God's anger will not spring up whenever we sin again. We're not in probation. He doesn't keep a record of wrongs to use against us. Remember, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And remember who you now are. We are in Christ Jesus. Who are you? Like, that's a huge question. And we answer it in lots of different ways, depending on who we're talking to. I'm Glenn. I'm British. I'm Anglican. I'm Lizzie's husband. I'm a Liverpool Football Club supporter. But however we answer it, Paul tells us of our new identity in Christ. Verse 14, he's our peace. Verse 15, he himself created one new humanity. Verse 18, through him we have access. Verse 21, verse 22, in him, in him. In bringing Jews and Gentiles together, Jesus has made something new. Jews haven't turned into Gentiles. Gentiles haven't turned into Jews. It's not 50-50. Through faith in Jesus, we have become Christ's. We are Christians. Now, those other things that define us, ethnicity, class, education, abilities, football teams, they don't stop, but they are demoted. We are a community that bears his name. And it's an identity that we have all equally received. It's not ours by birth or by achievement, but by grace. It's a gift. We've been swept up into God's plans for this world to unite all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. We have access to the same Father. We're indwelt by the same Spirit. We're cemented together into his temple. So tonight, look around you. We're a reasonably diverse group of people. And the Universal Church is a very diverse community. But who unites us is greater than what divides us. We see more than just our differences. We see each other in Christ, connected to him, a new creation community. This is what Christ has done for us. He enables us to relate to those different to us. So what does that mean for us inside the church? We began with a song, so let's end with another. Can we have up the first verse of our final song, please? Sister, let me wipe your tears. Brother, let me bear your fears. Come on, every daughter, every son. Let us walk in love, for we are one. And can we have the next verse too? Though we walk a long and broken road, we are here to bear each other's load. And forgive as you have forgiven us. Let us walk in love, for we are one. That's a wonderful truth, isn't it? We're one in Christ. And we really appreciate when we experience love from sisters and brothers. And yet walking in love's always challenging, putting the interests of others ahead of you. But it's doubly challenging because Ephesians 2 reminds us that those brothers and sisters are people different to us. That to really walk in love, we need to move outside our comfort zones. Not to be content with staying inside our groups, but to reach out to people different to us, a different ethnicity, or class, or age, or background, and to get to know them and to walk with them. Who might that be for you? That's hard. Yes, it is. I don't have the time. What if I say the wrong thing and have to say sorry? What if my prejudices are exposed and I'm embarrassed? What if I have to sit in a different seat in church so I meet people different to me? But as we do so, we learn more about who God is and see how powerful his gospel is and discover in real depth what it means to be fellow citizens and members of God's family and a Holy Spirit-filled temple. And if we erect barriers or tolerate divisions, then we're working against the cross and God's plan. But when we get to know and love and serve those different to us, we're walking the way of the cross. And as we leave this building and go outside, we go as agents of peace and reconciliation to a broken, divided, and hostile world. Verse 17, Jesus came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. And he continues to speak. He did through Paul and he does through us. He created us to be a new humanity. And if we're learning in the church how to relate to those different to us, then surely this must shape how we relate to others at school, at work, on our street, in the gym. That we're not proud or condescending or divisive, but we act and speak with humility and grace and patience, seeking to bring people together, not drive them further apart. We remember that we're no better than anyone else. We were once far away, and that it's only by the blood of Jesus that we've been brought near, and that through his grace, we are now in him. Let's take a moment to reflect on God's word, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that through the Lord Jesus, you have made us one. You have reconciled us with yourself and with each other. Lord, please help us to maintain that unity, to strive for that unity. Help us to knock down those barriers. Not just to tolerate each other or to understand each other, but to genuinely love each other, to walk together, to bear our loads, to walk in love because you have made us one. Lord, please forgive us. Please humble us. Please strengthen us by your Spirit who lives within us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.